Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. As always, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop, talking NFL draft this morning. It's great that it's here, but it's going to suck when it's over because then we really have nothing.
We're happy to have it, and coverage of the NFL Draft on 106.7 The Fan is presented by FedChoice Federal Credit Union. The federal community is playing a crucial role in our fight during these tough times, and FedChoice Federal Credit Union sincerely thanks everyone working tirelessly to help mitigate the disaster. Learn how we can help you at FedChoice.org, insured by NCUA. So thanks to them for coming on board.
What time do all the festivities begin? I know that we're going to have coverage all day, but what
Grand
time?
Granddaddy start at 6:30.
Yeah.
I think you could probably tune into ESPN at any point. You'll see some sort of coverage, but the official coverage is 8 p.m.
Wow.
But, I mean, if you put it on at 7 o'clock, you're going to NFL Network or ESPN, yeah, you're going to see them talking about
that's all we're going to talk about.
I would imagine all day long.
And you know what? I think you got an outside shot to get that Trent Williams trade before the draft.
You think I do? You think I can
I think you do.
I hope you're right.
I don't know if either of us will ever pay each other because we don't know.
Probably won't. I'll probably never see you in person ever again. We're just going to be sequestered in our homes forever.
Right.
So, you know, I can ship it to you digitally if I lose. We'll see. We'll figure it out.
All right. So I think we still have some people on the line here that want to chime in. What would move the needle the most for you? What would upset you the most? What would excite you the most? I think that this town would be on fire if they drafted Tua. I mean, Chase obviously is a no-brainer. I mean, it's almost like you can't go wrong drafting
Chase. What if
Chase
Young becomes the best pass rusher in the NFL?
That'd be incredible.
That's how he's getting hyped up.
I mean,
He's getting written up as better than the Bosas, better than anybody that's come into the league in the past decade.
Just hard to live up to that.
Maybe he's a guy that's going to give you 15 sacks every year.
You know who else was hyped up like that? Clowney. And Clowney's been good, but he's been injury-riddled, and he hasn't been, you know, the all-century guy that people thought.
I actually feel bad for Chase Young.
Yeah.
Because the expectations are so high, it seems like they're unattainable.
Exactly.
I mean, you guys were complaining that if he had 10 sacks a year, you know, for
10 sacks a year is Ryan Kerrigan.
I know. And then you guys thought that was a little meh.
For a number two pick?
For a number two
he
pick.
He needs to be J.J. Watt. He needs to be
Khalil Mack.
Yeah, he needs to be an NFL defensive MVP candidate, top three, like, you know,
but I think I think he has a better chance of being great than Tua does, just because of all the checkered injury history with Tua, the fact that that NFL quarterbacks flame out even when they're picked one, two, or three, when they're picked high. I think Chase has a higher ceiling than any of those quarterbacks that are available in this draft.
You're probably right on that point, but the position is more important. There's nothing more important than quarterback. And if you
I would
get
never
one,
disagree with that, but the second most important position is the guy that chases down the quarterback. So if you can lock that dude in for a decade and he's productive, I think that would move the fan base. It might not initially, but if he comes out and does what he's supposed to do and he's a superstar, that will motivate the fan base.
It's almost to the point, now maybe this is just my bizarre warped opinion just because I'm old and jaded, but it's almost like if they draft Chase and you can't, it's just like, it's almost like ho-hum, it's just so easy to do. You know what I mean? There's not. It's almost it's got obvious. The point where it's not even sexy.
It's obvious, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think what helps him is that the fact that the Skins have other talent on the line, it's going to take the pressure off him a little bit. Like, you're not going to be able to double or have to double or triple him. You're going to have to pay attention to, you know, the Allens and the Paynes and those guys and Sweat if he pans out.
Right.
But I think that helps Chase. But, I mean, Bosa had a great year last year. He had 9 sacks. I think it goes beyond sacks. It goes to, you know, tackles for loss. It goes to strip fumbles. It goes to hurries. You know, there's a lot of other metrics that you need to look at.
Definitely.
Beyond just sacks.
For the crowd that says this is like a generational player, and I mean, I think Chase Young's awesome, but his draft profile on NFL.com, he's got a lower grade than Myles Garrett and Bradley Chubb. So it's just something to think about. Like, those guys haven't, you know, aren't game changers.
Garrett's been good.
He's good.
When he's been on the field.
But he hasn't made the team better.
Correct.
Well,
I want to know where
that's what quarterbacks do.
Maybe he has. We don't know.
I want to know what the line will look like, though, for the Redskins. So you'd have Chase Young starting on the outside, Allen and Payne, because they're going to a 4-3. One would assume Kerrigan. So now Sweat and Ioannidis are just depth guys?
What's wrong with that?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but you would think that Montez Sweat would be a starter, too. Or is Kerrigan now all of a sudden a depth guy?
That could change. That could be a transition during the year thing. You know what I mean? Start with Kerrigan. And then, you know, Ryan had a tough year injury-wise last year for the first time.
Because I know in the 3-4, Sweat and Kerrigan were considered outside linebackers, but I don't think they're going to be playing outside linebacker here, right? They're going to have their hand in the dirt and rushing the passer, and that's it.
Well, that's what they do. Yeah,
right.
That's what they should do.
I understand that, but my point is some guys who we expect to be starters are probably going to be the outside looking in, and that's fine. You have a rotation on the defensive line. Just how do you expect it to play out? I would expect it to be Chase Young, Allen and Payne, Ioannidis, the depth guy there, and then I guess Kerrigan and Sweat alternating.
I would want Chase Young on the field more than those other two guys.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm starting Chase and playing him all the time.
The question to me is who would you rather have on the other side opposite him, Kerrigan or Sweat? At this point, Kerrigan gets the benefit of the doubt.
Maybe
but I can see a transition.
Maybe Sweat earns the job. Who knows?
Well, maybe you're also scaling back Kerrigan a little bit just because he's getting up there in years. Mm-hmm. That he won't play quite as much, but maybe he's, you know, effective in a more limited role.
Well, San Francisco last year was so dominant up front, but, you know, it's not like they just used 4 guys. They had 6 or 7 guys they could use. I mean, Solomon Thomas didn't even start for most of the year last year, and he was the number 2 pick a few years ago.
Hey, we just know the defense is going to be better because Minuski is out of town. We know it's going to be better addition by subtraction. Yeah. We know that in and of itself.
You got JDR now. JDR.
Right.
Loves passion, Finn, too.
All right, let's go. He used to. Let's go to line 3. Let's go to Charlie. Calling from
Curbside. Curbside.
Newport News. What's up, Charlie? Long time no here, buddy.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Chuck. All of you.
What's up, Charlie?
Hey, you too, man.
It excites me to get Chase Young. Would be great, and if we would get lucky, which I don't think we would, get Burrow by accident. And then I got some breaking news for you. Trent Williams going to Miami for a number 1 pick.
So we have the 1, 2, and 5.
He's very positive. Very
that
positive.
Would be silly. Right. Hey, Charlie, what are you doing to
He's
stay
gone.
Away?
Oh, I wanted to talk to him about that.
I want to talk to him about the Rona.
Oh, I want to talk about getting the first pick, the second pick, and the 5th pick.
That'd
be awesome.
That would be not. That would motivate the fan base if that were to happen.
All right, let's go to Christian in Tysons. Christian, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how are you guys doing? First time caller. I love the show.
Thank you, man.
Sir.
What's up, Christian?
So I wanted to say that I would love them to draft Chase Young, but if they got to trade down, I would definitely have them trade down with Miami, take those 2 first picks.
You sound like a high school kid too, by the way.
No, I'm actually technically an essential worker. I am on my job site right now.
Oh, okay.
Building
That's
houses.
A good call though, Lurch. I was right there with you.
I thought you sounded young.
Did
How
you go
old
to school?
I'm 27 actually.
Wow, where'd you go to college?
I went to Virginia Tech.
There you go.
Virginia Tech. All right.
Hokies.
Yep.
And what's your essential job?
I am a construction manager. I'm building a community of townhouses right in Seven Corners Falls Church.
So are you like all those construction guys in downtown D.C.? Like, you're just watching them all congregate and violate every social distancing rule in the book?
No, we actually enforce it pretty heavily here, and residential is a lot different than commercial. So we enforce the social distancing everywhere. Got signs everywhere. People got masks. So we're doing pretty well with that.
Right. All right. So what is your deal then? As far as what would excite you the most?
He wants them to trade down to that Dolphins pick.
And then what do you want him to do there?
If I take Isaiah Simmons, if they trade down to the Dolphins, I would say take Isaiah Simmons on at five, and then take another of Miami's picks at another of their number one picks, and then take a round two pick as well.
So you want the fifth pick, the 18th pick, and then where's Miami selecting in round two? They are selecting at 39. All right, well.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think that's enough, but could be wrong.
All right.
I think it actually
Christian,
would be enough.
Thank you, buddy.
If I was the GM, to me that would be enough if, and this is what I don't know, if their grade of Chase Young and their grade of Isaiah Simmons is close.
Right.
Because then you're able to draft a receiver, I would say, with the later first-round pick, and then with the second-round pick, you could do whatever you want.
Maybe get your tight end, but if you're going to make a move for Howard, who knows? Yeah.
No, if they did that, I think in the second round they'd take a receiver.
Yeah. Let's go to Steve in Landover. Steve, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
What's up, Junks?
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm all as well, man. I wouldn't trade that pick for nothing, man. Sean Taylor, he's the next Sean Taylor, man.
Who, Chase Young?
Chase Young's the next Sean Taylor.
In what ways?
What you mean in what way? He's coming.
He's just going to be an impact player. Yeah.
You just mean he's going to be like premier at his position?
Yes, indeed.
Right.
Did you expect that from Jonathan Allen? To be honest, I expected that from Jonathan Allen. Not Sean Taylor comparison, but I thought Jonathan Allen was going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, but Chase Young, he's from here, and he's going to bring the noise, man.
Right.
So isn't Jonathan Allen kind of from here?
Yeah.
Kind of.
He definitely is. Kind of. He's definitely from here.
Yeah, but not like Chase and Lando. Like Landover's a lot closer where this kid is. Yeah. Steve?
He's gone.
He hung up on him. Valdez has very short tolerance for guys that don't have much to say, but I like to work with him a little bit, Valdez.
It's ironic coming from Valdez.
Right. Exactly. Anybody else want to chime in? Are we done, Drabby?
Well, we got J.P. Finley
That's
next.
It, yeah,
so
JP's ready.
Why don't we take a break? J.P. Finley, Redskins insider, will join us. There have been a lot of rumors swirling about Trent Williams. We'll see if they ultimately make a deal today before the draft or, hopefully, Cakes, after the draft so I can win the bet.
I've been crestfallen.
But actually, to be honest, I'd like more action today. So it would be kind of cool if they were able to pull it off before the draft.
Let's make it happen.
Obviously, we'll talk about what they'll do with that number two pick. If there are teams that are legitimately contenders to make a trade up, like the Falcons or the Dolphins. So we'll get into that next with Redskins insider J.P. Finley on the Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you on The Fan. Of course, we're talking NFL Draft. Continuing coverage of the NFL Draft on 106.7 The Fan, presented by Fed Choice Federal Credit Union. The federal community is playing a crucial role in our fight during these tough times. And Fed Choice Federal Credit Union sincerely thanks everyone working tirelessly to help mitigate the disaster. Learn how we can help at fedchoice.org, insured by NCUA. And we're going to continue to talk draft right now with our next guest joining us via Zoom and on the phones, on the Maxwell hotlines, our pal J.P. Finley from NBC
buddy.
Sports Washington. What's up, J.P.?
What's happening, guys?
It's from the Finley compound.
Yeah, we're it's just cool to see you guys. I was on hold during the break to kind of, like, get to see you guys interact and watch how the sausage gets made a little bit. That was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I pretty much just ate cereal during the
boring
break.
We couldn't be more boring, yeah. Mr. Finley.
My wife made me a tuna melt. I'm just crushing that.
Oh, I would love a tuna melt right now.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good.
So, dude, did you guys see the video of Mark Warner making a tuna melt? It's the most disgusting thing you'll ever see.
I heard he just loves the mayo. Loves all so much OJ mayo.
Oh, he puts mayo in there? Maybe my wife does. Yeah, I don't know.
No, you got to see this.
He puts it in a microwave.
Senator Mark Warner.
What's he do?
He puts tuna on white bread and then sticks it in a microwave for like 20 seconds.
What he say? He puts mayo? Dude, what else?
Valdez, you're underselling it. He globs the mayo on the bread and then just rips open the can of tuna, doesn't drain it or anything, and just starts dumping the tuna on the bread. So all that gross water lands on the bread as well, and then he puts a piece of cheese on it, puts it in the microwave. For
oh, yeah, you're a psycho. If you don't drain the water out of the tuna, you're a psycho.
Well, that's the first thing you do. I mean, I would never make a tuna melt because I'd never put cheese on tuna, but shouldn't you cook it on, like, in a skillet or, like...
Yes.
I mean,
we put it in
course.
The oven.
Yeah, oven might work.
Yeah, we do the
oven. No, you grill the bread.
Yeah.
And then you cook the cheese, you put the tuna on it, and then you put the cheese, you melt the cheese, and then you flip it over, you cut it. You have to cut it on the skillet. I don't know, what is he doing?
The microwave makes everything worse.
Well, that ruins the bread. Microwave is the number one thing that will torture your bread.
Yeah. You don't know where he went to high school?
Mark Warner?
I do.
No idea.
I won't spoil it. I found this out last night because I tweeted out this video. One of your listeners or watchers needs to tweet you the video right now, guys. He's so proud of himself for this terrible, terrible sandwich.
Did JP just call our viewers watchers?
Yes, he did.
a little early.
Where did Mark Warner go to high school?
Where did he go to high school, JP?
Rockville High.
I think Rockville, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's kind of nubs. Been over there.
Well, then he went to, like, Harvard twice. So
oh, did he?
Okay. It's pretty good.
Okay. Good for him. Good for him. All right. So
he failed the tuna melt class then.
Yeah, he did. Big time. Although, I got to have a discussion with you, Jason, because you do it a completely different way than we do.
Oh, I don't put it in the oven.
We put it in the oven, and it bakes it or whatever.
I'll make the best tuna melt. We can have that.
All right.
We can
have
that contest.
All right, so JP, I was telling the boys, you know, listen, there's no doubt that Chase Young, I think in almost everyone's mind, is going to be a guy that's going to come in here. He's having an impact right away, and I assume he's going to be a great player. But it's weird because, and I know I'm unusual here, and
he's too boring for you.
It's just kind of like I expect it. Now, I want something sexy to happen, and even though Chase is going to probably be a 4 or 5-time Pro Bowler and hopefully, you know, be in contention for NFL Defensive Player of the Year or something, I'm looking for something sexy, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I think in a way he is sexy, but the lack of drama surrounding the number two pick is maybe what you mean more. Like,
yeah,
this has kind of been a done deal for months, and that is kind of boring going into draft night. But I think it's a good problem to have for the Redskins to be on the boring side of the fence, where we've seen so many fireworks for so long, and kind of nothing good has come of the fireworks side. I don't think there's going to be a trade. I don't think anybody's going to offer close to what they'd want to get off of it. And I think Chase is going to make their defense immediately better. He's a day one starter for you. Tua would be the sexy pick, and you would create all sorts of controversy and certainly plenty of topics for us for the whole summer. But I just don't think it's just not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen.
JP, do you have any inside skinny on the Falcons, who are in the middle of the first round with the 16th pick, trying to move up and get that number two pick from the Skins? I'm just guessing they didn't have enough ammunition to move up that far.
Yeah, I wrote a story about that this morning for the website. I mean, if you just think about it, Ron Rivera went on record publicly and said, listen, I'm not about trading back just to get more picks. I have to get equal value. To me, that meant that the Skins would never go further back than five, because I think the only other player in their mind that would be equal value is Jeff Okuda, the corner from Ohio State. You're not going to get anybody like Chase Young at 16. Certainly good players are had at 16, and there's been, you know, Hall of Famers, but you got to get the bell curve starts flattening out quick once you get outside of that top five, and that, I think, is the problem. I mean, the Falcons can offer a lot, but you're still not offering the chance to get somebody with that elite potential.
JP, give us an idea of how it's going to work again. I know we've kind of talked about this a little bit, but in years past, you know, Bruce was the final say, right? So those guys could kick things around. You know, maybe in Jay's first year, he had a little more power than, you know, his power started to wane sort of during his tenure here. That's at least the perception. Bruce had the final call, unless it was a first-round pick where Dan would like to get involved, right, occasionally. I assume it's kind of the same thing. Dan's going to be involved in the first-round pick a little bit, right? But that Ron will have that second, that next voice underneath Dan. Is that your interpretation of how this room is going to work throughout the draft?
Yeah, I think for tonight, there's really nothing to debate. I think everybody's on board with Chase, and they kind of just move on. I think as you get further into the draft, once you get to 66, and then especially once you get into the fourth round where they have two picks, and even kind of the wheeling and dealing stage where trying to trade Trent Williams is a huge part of this. I think Kyle Smith and that side of the building are really running that. I think Kyle Smith is this is his draft, and I think he'll have even more influence than he has the past few years when Bruce did get involved. I think Ron is willing to let Kyle drive this thing, and then if there needs to be a tiebreaker, I think it'll be Ron, and if something gets to a level where they have to bring Dan in, they will, but I don't think Dan's getting involved in third and fourth round picks. Now, they don't have a second round pick. Maybe Dan needs to approve final compensation on a Trent trade. I don't know. But I think this is really going to be Kyle's operation. And think about this, too. Ron's been pretty clear that Kyle's not quite the GM, but he's basically acting in that role. He's really liked his last three drafts when he was director of college scouting. The most pressure in this situation is kind of on Kyle Smith. Because if he nails this, then that really sets him up to, whether or not they give him the GM title, that this is his gig for a while. And I think it'll be his show.
Talking to J.P. Finley, Redskins insider for NBC Sports Washington. So if they draft Chase Young, that means Dwayne Haskins should be the starter. Obviously, you have the Kyle Allen quarterback in the equation. You talked to Urban Meyer this week about Haskins. What did he tell you?
He spoke highly of him. Everybody knows that Dwayne has all the arm talent. He's big. He's strong. To me, I think his ceiling is to get to like a Ben Roethlisberger type player. That's what you'd hope he develops into. But Urban said two things that kind of stood out beyond just complimenting his guy, that he needs a lot of talent around him. I think like a lot of good quarterbacks need a really good team around them to flourish. There's not that many Russ Wilsons and Patrick Mahomes out there. And then the other thing that stood out, because it came out completely unprompted, was he called him out for his social media usage and just said he needs to not be on there so much. And it's something I've talked to him about, and it'll continue to you know, I think he was kind of saying that Ron might feel the same way. We'll have to see how that all shakes out.
JP, let's just take Trent out of this. And in the third round, the Skins select at 66. So if they don't trade up to the second round or trade back, what position do you think they target there in the third round? Is it receiver? Is it DB? Is it lineman? What do you think their second big position of need is?
So I think it's two separate questions, Connor. I think the second biggest position of need, the two biggest positions of need are going to be left tackle and tight end. I don't know that they're going to address either of those at 66. If you look at how they've run this offseason, this is clearly part of a long-term rebuild, and Ron feels confident that he has the time and the authority to build this how he wants. So I think they're going to go best player available. I won't be surprised at all if it's a cornerback at number 66, just because we've talked about the depth at wideout in this draft, but there's a lot of good corners too. And they just locked up Fuller, but then you've got Fabian Moreau and Ronald Darby are on in one-year deals or the last year of their deal. There's not a lot of depth at the corner position. I think when this team took when Ron Rivera, Jack Del Rio took over the Redskins' job, I think they looked at the secondary as a place that needed to be overhauled and had some talent added in. So I won't be surprised if that's the pick. But if there's I sincerely think if there's a really good player there, if there's a really good inside linebacker there, or certainly a tight end or a wideout that they want, I think they'll take him without hesitation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think that they got to get receivers. You just talked about putting some talent around Haskins. They've got to get – I think they've got to draft at least one, if not two, in this – like if Michael Pittman from USC slips to that 66, sure, I would jump all over it. I just think they need more talent on the outside. That's just my opinion. I know they need a tight end, but you're right. It's way too high to take them in the third round. But receivers –
they need playmakers.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, they need speed and guys that can make people miss, and they just don't have that. McLaurin obviously looks like a stud, and I think Steven Sims, who I think is EB's guy, right? He really showed a lot down the stretch, and I think as he becomes more maybe a kind of a polished route runner, maybe he can do more in the slot beyond kind of gadget stuff. But you saw when they went for Amari Cooper, they know they need more playmakers. I mean, they had, depending on what you believe, $110, $115 million on the table. They know they have a hole there, but I don't think they're just going to recklessly attack it. I think they're going to try to identify their guy.
JP, do you think it's going to be a scenario where Terry McLaurin and you know, the other Ohio State guys get into people's ears about K.J. Hill, like bringing him in the mix, kind of another under-the-radar Ohio State guy, kind of in the mold of a McLaurin? Do you see that happening at some point?
Maybe. You know, I talked to KJ at the combine, and he was really into the idea. I think he and Dwayne Haskins are close. I don't know this, but where Dwayne could text, you know, could try to speak up about these guys last year, I don't know that Terry or Dwayne are going to be calling Ron and saying, hey, you know, take my boy, he's a Buckeye. But they're probably drafted Chase Young already, so maybe there'll be some momentum towards that. KJ Hill can play too.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Harmon fit in the equation? Because I wasn't huge on him going in, but he's kind of showed me something down the stretch a little bit. I feel like he's got a spot there.
I think he's got a roster spot for sure. And I think, I mean, if you look at his catches, I bet the bulk of them came once Haskins started at quarterback and they kind of started going younger. I think the question with Harmon is speed. And when you're talking about playmakers, Harmon doesn't really have top-line NFL speed. I think that's why he fell in the draft. It's not questions about his toughness or his hands or anything. He's not a burner. And if you want somebody on the outside in the NFL, typically
well, do you need two? Do you need two burners?
I don't know that he might be bottom half of the league as far as outside wide receiver speed. So you don't have to be a burner, but you want to present some sort of deep threat or mm-hmm. not allow safeties to overload to McLaurin's side. I don't know enough. We'll see with Harmon. I think he's a big kid. He's a tough guy. I certainly think he's on this roster, but if they loved Kelvin Harmon, they wouldn't have had the huge offer out for Amari Cooper.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Real quick, we touched on it earlier. If they go ahead and select Chase, JP threw out there, how do you see that rotation playing out if you had to guess? There's a lot of depth there.
Yeah, I think he'd be their best player day one. So I think you get him on the field day one. And I personally think Mike Kerrigan could have a really resurgent year playing in a 4-3 defense where he's not asked to cover all the time and with a competent to very good defensive coordinator. And maybe he can just be kind of a pass rush specialist a little bit more than he's been allowed over the past few years. I think you put Chase Young on the field as much as you can, and that's first, second, third down. He can help you against the run. You're drafting a guy number two overall. You can't be worried about.
No, he's going to play. I agree with JP, and we got to go to a break here in 30 seconds, but he's going to play right away. The question is, I mean, they just drafted Montez Sweat. I mean, we're expecting big things from him. So just how does that rotation work? That's kind of what we're wondering.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know right now. They'll have to sort that out. And then you hope all those guys stay healthy and you have a rotation. But they're going to have five first-round picks on that D-line between Allen, Payne, Sweat, Kerrigan, Young. And this is a team that can't stop the run. You hope it turns around this year.
Right. And then Ioannidis, who might be their best, not a first-rounder, but he's really productive.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and he's the only one that's gotten a contract out of those young guys. You know, I mean, he got the extension last year.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Thank you, JP. It's all awesome. JP. I know it's a big day for you, buddy. Have fun.
Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, boss.
All right.
JP.
It's JP Finley, everybody. All right, with over 40 years serving our community, the five-star experts at Crop Metcalf are continuing to do exactly that with the same professionalism, honesty, and experience you know and expect. My guys over at Crop Metcalf are ready to help tackle any heating, air conditioning, plumbing, electrical, or pest control problem while taking every precaution to keep you, your family, and their fellow coworkers safe. Learn more at cropmetcalf.com/health or call 1-800-GO-CROP. Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
On 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. On NFL Draft Day, we'll get back into the draft a bit later. We have our mock draft coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. You don't want to miss that. Coverage
less than an hour away, man. My war room is busy.
I hope you have your crack research staff ready to go because the pressure is mounting. Coverage of the NFL Draft on 106.7 The Fan, presented by FedChoice Federal Credit Union. The federal community is playing a crucial role in our fight during these tough times, and FedChoice Federal Credit Union sincerely thanks everyone working tirelessly to help mitigate the disaster. Learn how we can help you at fedchoice.org, insured by NCUA.
All right, so we're taking calls on the NFL draft. 800-636-1067 is the number. But every day we do a World Series rewind. Today, we talk about the Nats' come-from-behind win in Philly on April 9th, 2019, where Victor Robles got in the mix.
It's the World Series Rewind, presented by Waldorf Honda, the first and largest remote car delivery dealership for sales and service in the DMV area. Waldorf Honda has kept it simple. Visit their website, waldorfhonda.com.
Now the set. Here's the pitch. Swing and a fly ball, deep left field. McCutcheon back, way back. It is gone! Goodbye! Game tied on a home run by Victor Robles on a 2-2 pitch with two out of the top of the ninth inning. Another slider. Robles got it, and he takes it out over the 374 mark in left center field. Bang! Zoom goes the 21-year-old rookie, Victor Robles. The Nationals have come all the way back from a 6-1 deficit. It's the Nationals 6 and the Phillies 6.
Dozier at second, Rendon at first, the 1-0.
Breaking ball blasted, deep right. Will it stay fair? It's way back there, and it is gone. A three-run homer into the second deck, right down the line. Juan Soto gives the Nationals the lead in extra innings with a titanic three-run shot. His second of the year. What a comeback, and what a shot for Soto here in the 10th. The Nationals 9 and the Phillies 6.
So Charlie and Jags both getting in on the home run calls there. You love to hear that on 106.7 The Fan when they both get in on the mix.
Four in the 10th to come back and win that game. Harper actually homered early in that game for Philly. But as you heard, Robles was huge. Soto was huge. 10-6 final. And Doolittle got his third win out of the pen. He was 3-0 after that game.
Very nice. But that was kind of in the midst of the poopy pen days.
Well, we were only 10 games in?
I know. Yeah. The poopy pen.
It kind of lasted all season.
It did. We argued early on that it was a small sample size, but
that's
it did last all season.
I will always make the small sample size argument if it hurts me. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Right. I will always
gotta
defend my guys.
Hat in the ring.
Yeah. I vaguely remember that it was early on. I think it put him at 5-5 at that point. But it was a glimpse of, you know, what was to come. And we certainly are hoping that those two guys, Robles and Soto, whenever they get back, they continue. And we see that for years to come. Love that. Big contributions from both those guys.
Can't wait to see anybody on a baseball field.
Right? It's not going to be the same, though.
I'll take anybody.
Even if they're – I mean, can you imagine them playing it, like, in Scottsdale, some minor league spring training park, no fans?
It's going to be really weird.
It'll be weird, but if the games count –
it's going to be eerie.
If they go in the standings, people are going to pay attention.
Well, not just that, but are they going to play doubleheaders on that particular field? I would think there would be, I mean, to get all the games in.
I suppose. You know, it's kind of like – walking around. Yesterday I had to go get some medicine again because they only got part of my prescription. And you just, you know, everybody knows, everyone's wearing a mask now, and you're getting more used to it, but it's still bizarre when you see it. You know, everybody, I mean, you go to the pharmacy, and they look like, and I guess in a lot of ways they are, they look like they're, first responders working on COVID patients themselves.
Right.
At my pharmacy, they're wearing like a full gown, mask, gloves, everything.
Yeah, well, they're coming in contact with potentially sick people every single day, interaction they have.
Yeah, but then you're walking around the parking lot, and everyone's in their car with their masks on. People are walking around the streets with their masks on. I made the mistake. I ran into CVS to get some milk because my daughter was complaining she didn't like the milk we had. So I got her some milk, the kind she likes. And I got two other things. I'm standing in line, and they kind of say, don't use the self-checkout because you touch the screen and everything. But I've been using that lately, and I figure I'll just touch the screen with my knuckle. I get into my car, and I hit it up with the hand sanitizer 9 million times. I wipe my hands down with the wipes. I figure I'm good. But this time I said, okay, I'll do what they say. So I did what I said. I went to the counter. I let the lady touch all my stuff that was tilting me. And then I had to punch in my CVS number. So then I started touching that thing, and then I just got paranoid.
Well,
and then I was touching everything.
You can give her your number, and she can put that in. You don't.
She
need
told
to do-
me to punch it in, and I just started to melt down. I just had a meltdown.
You had a tune to meltdown.
Now they're saying,
yes.
Now they're saying, you know, that's primarily spread through the mouth.
Correct.
And not.
But
through
it still
your
tilts.
Hands.
It
they're
still
saying
tilts.
People that use the gloves or donks. I mean,
yes. I've said that all along. The glove
I've punted
people
the
are
gloves. I used to be pro glove. Now I realize it's just pointless.
All you're doing is spreading it from thing to thing to thing.
Yeah, I don't need you used to love that. Gary Payton. Now you don't.
More Gary Payton love over
but
here.
On one level, seeing everybody with the masks makes you feel less awkward because we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. But it also makes you more paranoid because you're like, oh my God, they're wearing bandanas or masks or scarves or something.
I've gotten used to it. I mean, it's still kind of a donk if you're driving around with a mask.
Like, yeah, I don't get it.
I don't understand.
Well, I think because they don't want to touch their face, right? Maybe. You don't want to touch your face.
Okay, maybe.
You don't want to cross-contaminate. You wait till you get home.
It just looks weird when you're in your car by yourself and you got a mask.
I'm cross-contaminating because as soon as I get in the car, the mask comes off.
Are you hitting the hand sanitizer before you touch your face?
Might not be before.
we got plenty of it.
You gotta noodle this a little better, Cakes.
Got a 100-gallon jug of it in the garage.
Yeah, thank you, KO Distilling.
That's right.
I need to get mine.
I need a funnel.
I need to catch.
Problem is now, how do I take the hand sanitizer from the 5-gallon barrel and transfer that into little bottles?
That's on you. You're gonna have to
figure
that
out.
Right. I need a funnel.
I suppose a funnel. You might want to add some aloe to it too, because this is just pure liquid. This is pure alcohol and whatever. I think it's 85% alcohol, whatever it is. It doesn't have any gel to it. So, I mean, the alcohol's fine, but if you want to
add
a
little. We just took it out on the driveway and we poured it into a bottle.
Is that what you did?
Yeah. I mean, a little bit spilled out, but a little bit, but not much.
I mean, you got 5 gallons to mess
with.
Yeah,
you got plenty.
Yeah, you got plenty.
But anyway, it's just when you see everybody wearing the mask, it's comforting because you don't feel like a dork, but it also has the effect of, man, it must really be wild. You know, like the guy really got to be careful because everyone's wearing masks. You know what I mean? So it kind of, it's like a self-perpetuating, like, I don't know, that it's a nightmare instead of trying to be normal.
Well, it's because everyone's scared.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
I can't bring myself to wear one, but I don't go anywhere. So my wife won't even let me go into any stores.
Well, you won't be able. In Maryland, you won't. I mean, there's signs
everywhere.
In Maryland,
everywhere. You can't, right?
They'll kick you right out.
Virginia, you can. I mean, there are people walking into the grocery stores without masks. Not a lot, probably 20%.
By the way, I support it. I'm not complaining about it. It's just, it's still a mind F. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm scared of making a bad pick in the mock draft in the 8 o'clock hour. That's what I'm officially
When is that? Are we doing
right
that at 8:20 or 8 o'clock?
It's going to be 8:20 to about 9:40.
And we're literally – so, Valdez, I want you to explain one more time how we're doing this.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to have everyone's name in a hat. And so when the team comes up for the pick in the draft, we're going to select a name. And then that person is going to have 20 seconds on the clock.
Only 20. What about 30?
20 seconds on the clock. And they'll submit their pick.
Right. And if you don't get it in 20 seconds, then you bypass the pick.
You forfeit.
Yeah, then we'll select the next team and whoever that GM is, and then we'll announce it, and that person can jump in and steal the pick.
Yeah. Have you done your history research, as in the past, where you mock our previous year's selections?
No.
Okay.
Good. My selections have not been good over the years.
I know Cakes has taken Johnny Manziel and Laramie Tunsil.
I did that.
Tunsil was a good one.
I took Johnny Football because the Browns needed a spark, or so I thought. Didn't turn out to be the spark they needed.
And I saw somebody tweeted out a video from that draft where John Gruden, of course, was an analyst at the time, wasn't coaching the Raiders at this point, was just raving about Johnny Football.
That was the draft I was watching last night, by the way. The 2014 NFL draft.
We also have a new wrinkle, too, for the mock draft.
Go ahead. What's the new wrinkle?
All right, this is just to keep Eric on his toes.
Oh.
All names will be put into a hat two times, and so you could have the third and the fifth pick. It's not going 1 to 10 and then we reset.
Oh, okay.
Or you might have the 17th and the 20th pick.
So you could have multiple picks.
Yep. Yeah, well, you will have multiple picks. Yeah, you just don't know where they're coming.
Yeah, right, since we're going to 20.
Oh, you got a back-to-back pick.
20 seconds. I'm not even going to have the time to write down the name of who was just
You don't need
selected.
To write it down. You need just to verbalize it.
You got to be on top.
No, no, no. I can verbalize it, but I got to stay on track of who you donks pick.
By the way, my war room only prepped for 10 draft picks.
Well, you better get that war room cranked.
That's a terrible war room.
Yeah, what a
Well, you know what? My
prepared war room.
Sorry, we said we were doing 10 picks.
No, we're doing 20, baby.
What?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I weren't paying attention.
It's funny how this works. My war room looks exactly like Charles Davis's mock draft.
Good. Yeah, he'll take that. That's,
yeah.
That's
yeah,
fine.
Mine might look a lot like Daniel Jeremiah's.
Right.
Hey, there's more than 20 seconds in between each pick, though. Just 20 seconds after we draw the name.
Right.
So you'll have time to write it down.
Okay. All right.
And we have some vignettes if you want to play them, too.
I do. I think we should. Let's just play them. I mean, we got the whole show.
And you do have some clips, right?
The vignettes. But you're going to have to give me a little time to pad because our computers are very slow today.
Ooh, we'll take extra time to pad to make our picks.
Dude, remember, I know that GM no longer works for us anymore, but didn't he tell us we could get new computers if those were poop? Whatever happened with that?
Well, it looks like our computers came down with the coronavirus.
They may be infected.
Yeah, does McAfee cure the coronavirus?
There's a lot of talk.
Sure. Things have changed a little bit, Eric.
Yeah.
Well, I understand, yeah. but did we ever? I'm just as I have no idea. Did they ever upgrade the computers?
I can't remember.
Remember when we had that big lunch and he's like, "Yeah, whatever you guys want."
Yeah, I know. Then I called him on it.
What was the date of? Can anybody do some research and find the date of that lunch and figure out how much has changed since then?
A lot.
And it wasn't.
The only thing
it wasn't
changed
that long
is more
ago.
People have gotten fired.
It wasn't that long ago,
right?
That we had that big power lunch.
Right.
Yeah, well,
right.
That guy wasn't there very long who hosted the lunch.
He was not.
I literally forgot his name.
What was the restaurant? What was the restaurant? That restaurant was good.
What's his name?
I can't remember.
Just give it out there.
The initials are P.
No, don't give it. No, no.
I'll give it initials. PZ. Can you pull it?
Oh, yeah. Now I got it. I would have struggled
Phil.
With it.
Phil.
Yes.
Do you know a great nugget about that lunch?
I'd love to hear it.
Is that so? That was our big treat that he was going to hook for everyone, and you know his big treat to all of us.
Radio insider.
He forgot. I think he forgot his card, and CK had to pay for it.
Right. He definitely did.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was like $2,000
card at least though, right?
$2,000 lunch.
Was that for signing our meaningless contract?
I think so.
Yeah.
No, it was a get to know you. I thought.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I think it was on the heels of signing the contract.
Yeah, it was like a congratulatory. You know, we need to show some appreciation for the junk slot.
I got hoard because I was the last one there because I couldn't find any parking. So, of course, the only seat available at the table was the one right across the street from PZ. Right across the table.
Yeah. You handled it well. You're
right, so everyone else took those seats all the way at the end of the table, and I'm right across the table from them.
Right.
Or across the street.
I'd rather have been across the street.
All right, got to take a break. Phone number is 800-636-1067. It is an open line Thursday here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.